from him in this camp that makes you believe that could happen?
Just because he's been the consistency, the way he's been playing, the way he's been preparing, the way that him and AJ and all the guys communicating, trying to get on time, and you know what I'm saying? I just seen a different version of him this year, and I'm hoping for, you know, it turns over to the field, to games.
Welcome back. The voice there of Darius Slay as Eagles camp wraps up yesterday. It's the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio coming up. We got to get your thoughts on Rob Thompson here, because I think we're too hard on this guy. When things go bad, he's the village idiot. When things go well, they're supposed to win. A lot of reaction today with Rob Thompson. The Phillies, nice win last night, 3-2. Phillies back up 7 games in the NL East. We got a spot to give away, Midday Show, Fantasy League. But Hugh, as camp wraps up, I have the final stats here, courtesy of Elliott Shore Parks. The final stats for Jalen Hurts' training camp. We know just one interception happened yesterday, courtesy of Darius Slay. But Jalen Hurts here, 225 completions, a 77% completion percentage, 25 touchdowns for Jalen Hurts. And, interestingly enough, Hugh Douglas, tied for the most touchdowns he's ever had in a camp with 2022. And listening to Slay yesterday, and we'll hear more from him in a second, you know what it made me think, Hugh?
What's that?
It made me think that the expectations here for Jalen are about to get raised here. So let me ask you
this. As they should be.
Okay, let me ask you this question. Are you expecting, because we've talked about how Jalen's had a lot of different kinds of seasons in a short period of time as a starter, right? His first year, 2021, I'd say he was probably average, a little below average as a starter, right?
Yes.
Just getting his feet wet. Then 2022, right? Second in the MVP race, Eagles go to the Super Bowl. And then last year, we could all be real, he went backwards. Whatever you say he was, like the 12th best quarterback last year, however you want to rank him. Mm-hmm. It was not as great. Hugh Douglas, after watching Hurts at camp, I like it. Not even get the question out. So that
I'm being
means,
a little bullish.
That means are you expecting the 2022 version of Hurts to return?
Yes, I am. And I tell you why, man. I feel like, you know, he's in a good place. Like I said, I had a chance in passing to just talk to him. Like, just say, hey, Jalen, how you doing? Yada, yada, yada. His aura is different. His aura in that press conference was different. He had a little bit of a chip on the shoulder when he threw that interception to Slay. You know, because he kind of chipped back with his, like, about time, you know, because he had been on fire. Like I gave Elliot his flowers yesterday, man, but I'm telling you, it's obvious that when Elliot does the work that he does, guys pay attention to that. You can say what you want to say about him as a journalist or whatever. He does good work, and they gave him his props because when Slay got that interception,
he pointed at him.
So guys know that. When we talked to Reed Blankenship yesterday, they were aware of the fact that Jalen hadn't thrown an interception. So, you know, give Elliott his props, man. Give him his props. And Jalen knew it as well. And I think that he was in a space coming into this camp where the turnovers bothered him. The biggest difference between him and Dak last year, that Dak actually mentioned the fact that he was going to go into the season and vowed not to throw over 10 picks. I think Jalen has something similar that he's working on this year.
Well, I mean, and that was one of the, if you look at the difference between 2022 and 2023, Hurts, that was one of the biggest ones, right? His completion percentage wasn't that much different, you know, one year over the other. But 2 years ago, he only had 6 interceptions. Last year, 15, and he fumbled a lot. Darius Slay also talking here yesterday about Jalen seeing things differently and maybe taking more full control of what this offense needs to be.
One more. So you said on your podcast that you feel like Kellen is helping Jalen become smarter player, especially at the line of scrimmage. What, in what ways are you seeing?
Just let him take full control of offense. Like you've seen out there on the field, you can just see him in the 2-minute making the calls, reading hot checks. I know he's seeing the blitz way better than he ever did, you know, because you know, we got guys that can make plays and explosive, because we have great O-line that can kind of pick up anything. But now they trust Hurts to, you know, make plays on his own with his without just using his feet, using his mind, and beating the defense himself. So that's why I see an improvement in Hurts, is that the fact that Kellen got him, you know, picking up blitzes real nice.
Well, and that's what I thought, Kyle, he did so well in 2022, was he almost had the perfect feel of when he should run, when he should not, when he should throw the ball down the field. It's like he dictated the game rather than the defense dictating it to him. Last year was the opposite. Are you expecting the 2022 version of Hurts to return?
I am, and maybe even possibly a better one.
Woo!
Like, I think he's going to add to his arsenal the idea that he has a weapon out of the backfield, Saquon Barkley, that he can check the ball down to. Like, 2022 Jalen was great at doing the riding to side stuff, the taking off, the running, and all of that. But like the one thing that I think He never really dumped it off to the running back when that was there. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you just see him take off and the play would almost be over. Like, I just think Jalen could be like an unstoppable version of himself this season, especially if he limits the turnovers. Like, when he limited the turnovers in even 21 and 22, that wasn't guys like, you had Hugh Douglas comparing him to Tom Brady. I think you see him take that jump again. I'm not even saying that as a knock. Like, I think the comparison that you made, not that
he
is as great as Tom Brady, it was the great decision making. Like, I think we're going to see that version of Jalen Hurts again, plus, like, the whole, just with a little bit more added to his bag this year.
Well, I hope you guys are right. Here's where I'm at. 215-592-9494. We'll get back to all your calls here in a second, and your shot to hop in the Fantasy League on Topper. But are you expecting the 2022 version of Hurts to come back? I think it can, and I think I feel way better about Jalen today than I did a month ago. Like, he had a great camp. Everyone that was there every day said it. Like, it's Elliot has charted the numbers for us so we can have a visual and we can, like, put our mind around it. But anyone who's even been there for a day says, yeah, he's played well. Everyone we've talked to, we had a lot of defensive players on a camp during our shows there. They all said Jalen played really well. So it's across the board. I feel way better about Jalen today than I did a month ago. My only wonder is, and my only thought is, none of this is real yet. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it's not football. Football season for you hasn't officially started
yet. Yes, until the defense.
Until it does, until he takes a hit, you know, he's going up against defenses that he hasn't seen.
Yes.
You're going to be a little skeptical, which is fair.
I just need to see it. Like, if he plays lights out week one, then I might be full steam ahead. Like, this is just like 2 years ago. Every time someone says, well, he read the blitz well or he dumped it down in practice, I'm thinking, okay, he knows nobody's going to hit him. It's a totally different thing. And last year, I thought he left the pocket too much. I thought he got under duress too quickly, almost like feeling pressure.
Yeah.
And so I got to see it, and then I'll be there. 215-592-9494. So no, I'm not expecting it yet. That was an amazing season he had 2 years ago. Also, it's the physical stuff. Last year, he got banged up, and he wasn't the same player down the stretch of the season. Here's Jalen yesterday talking about how he's feeling physically, because it matters a lot to how he plays on the field.
I feel physically different this year versus last year. He had a longer season last year, or whatever the reason may be.
What do you mean?
You feel physically better than you did last year?
Well, I think I'm in a better place. Yeah, I think I'm in a better place physically. Yeah, obviously had some nicks there throughout the year that I told you guys not to ask me about. but you know, you deal with those things, you know, and I think all of those things have made me better. They've made me reevaluate some things, and they've allowed me to reassess, and I've been able to saturate myself in the right things.
He does look faster when we saw him out there. Like,
a little stronger.
Yeah, he looks, and I remember saying this a month ago, I can't wait to see how he looks running. And when we've seen him at camp, he looks like he looks fast. So he looks like we expect. Because last year at the end, Hugh, he didn't look fast. That knee obviously was bothering him a lot. Now, hopefully the knee stays healthy all year and he stays healthy all year and he could be this. But I do think he looks just physically way better than last year.
Yeah. And I tell you what, man, he talks about being in a good mental space. I think they all are. You know, when you hear the coach talk about, you know, his self-evaluation, you hear Jalen talking about, you know, just looking at things and mentally being ready for this year. You hear about Reed talking about how guys are making a conscious effort to be in the locker room and interact with one another.
Yep.
All of that stuff is important, man. I know it might sound like a little thing to a lot of people, and people can't understand the fact that, you know, your mental is just as important as your physical, but it is. Because when you're in a good space with your teammates, there's nothing you won't do for them. I mean, and that's the truth. There's nothing that you can't overcome together. And I remember vividly being in situations with my teammates where, you know, I'm feeling a little tired, and then you hear somebody say something. It might be Brian Dawkins. It might be Ike Reese. It might be Troy. Come on, man. I need you. Da, 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 da. And it allows you just to give a little bit more, just to dig a little bit deeper. So it's important. It's very, very important to be physically and mentally in tune with everything in your surroundings.
Yeah, and some of it with the physical stuff with Jalen is it's just the reality of how he plays, right? He's going to have weeks where he's banged up. I mean, that's the way he plays. Cam Newton was like this. Many mobile quarterbacks are like it, where it's like, you know, half the season they feel good and everything is good physically, and then Other half of the season, they got a sore knee, they got a sore shoulder, and it affects things. Hopefully, it's more like 22, where, you know, he stayed mostly out the, obviously, the shoulder injury in 22, but then he came back and played very well in the Super Bowl. 215-592-9494. Let's go back to the phone lines here. Are you expecting the 2022 version of Hurts to return? And are we too hard on Topper? I think we are. I think we focus too much on the negative with him, and very rarely do we bring up the good stuff that Rob Thompson does do with this baseball team. And tell us when you made a fool of yourself, how you did it for a spot in the Midday Show Fantasy League. Derek in Paola. Hey, Derek.
What's up, guys?
How
What's
we doing, on, Derek? Man?
Yo, bro, I want to make two points, one about the Phillies and one about the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
That, when y'all was talking about that RC guy, yeah, he's not a well-known player. With that being said, it's like, why would Bryce Harper even entertain that last year when he hit them two home runs? So when he gets back at Harper, I don't think it's a big deal because, you know, like Wolfgang said, it's just gamesmanship. I think like Bryce Harper is good, but I've been looking at like a lot of stats lately with baseball. Like Bryce Harper, he's way down the line with some of these other players, man. Like he's got 27 homers. Like he's like his RBIs is like not even like top 10, 15.
Yeah, he didn't cool off over the last couple of weeks. Yeah, he cooled
like
off.
That dude from Atlanta, I never even really like heard of him like that. But his numbers is way better than Bryce Harper. What's his name? Marcel?
Ozuna. Yeah,
like a dude like him. Like if the Phillies were to give him like that extension, bro, they would be foolish. That lady called yesterday, and she was saying how he'd been playing for so long or whatever.
He burnt
like
out.
Maybe he's trending down. I mean, he's good, but a lot of people put him on a pedestal, man. Like, I just think right now he's not an Aaron Judge. He's not a lot of these other
guys.
Derek,
he hasn't been this year. If we're being fair, if we're being fair about it, like, I just pulled it up. The OPS leaders this year, he's not top 10. I mean, he's 12. It's not like he's bad, but yeah, he hasn't been one of the 10 best hitters in baseball, and I think we talk about him like he is.
Yeah, like when they say, like, we got the best player in baseball here, that's a lie. And then real quick with the Eagles, right? I ain't called in a little while. With Jalen Hurts, right, when they say he called the one guy.
Wink Martindale.
Yeah, like, that's unheard of, but that just goes to tell you how like, dysfunctional – and those guys weren't giving him a lot of information last year. Like, for us to sit here and say, like, it's all on him and make it seem like he's not a smart quarterback and this, that, and the third, if you call a Wink Martindale to ask him questions, that means, like, Sirianni and Brian Johnson, whoever else is in them rooms with him, they weren't putting him in the best situations to be successful, man. So I feel like when he's saying he's in a better place this year, He might really feel like that, man. But Jalen Hurts is like a really like mature, laid back, confident fella, man. And people always like mock his words and stuff like that. But I guarantee you, his parents, when they hear him speak on camera, man, they really, really proud of him because they definitely raised him right, man.
Oh, no doubt.
Well, and I also, like, yeah, he's pretty intentional, like Derek. Yeah, I think when he says things, he doesn't like, you know, and that answer 2 months ago about Sirianni caused a lot of attention and consternation. But I think he's intentional. He doesn't seem to say things that he doesn't mean very often.
Yeah, I don't know. I just feel like we be hard. I don't, but a lot of people be calling in. Like, I heard Joe DeCamber this morning, like, when he said something about being saturated. I just think we get used to hearing, like, certain people, like, young people talk. Jalen Hurts is an old soul. He listens to Anita Baker, Frankie Beverly.
Out of all like, the old school, you know, artists, I mean, he can listen to, Anita Baker is, like,
the worst.
If you ask
a 25-year-old person who Anita Baker is, they ain't going to have no clue. That tells you everything you need to know about that guy.
Yeah, not Anita Baker.
You're not an Anita Baker guy?
No. Anita,
I love Anita Baker.
Dude,
Anita, you listen.
I'm listening.
That's pumpkin spice, right?
Yes.
So if you want to say, like, us as black men, yeah, we not pumpkin spice like that. But the women, black women, they love pumpkin spice.
You know what's funny? I just said pumpkin spice as a whole, and then we just went straight to the divide of the racial lines.
Well, speaking of, Elliot walked in here today. Speaking of that, Elliot walked in with his pumpkin spice latte today. So I'm just, we're rolling.
Dude, it's just like it's just too much, man. It's just too much.
I don't think it's manly. I would say it ain't manly.
And Anita Baker, she lead those folks. Like, she come there. She do lazy shows now, man. Wow. On the internet, she does lazy shows.
Calling out Anita Baker.
70 years old now.
But she need to stop. Bruce Springsteen doesn't do lazy shows.
And listen, she need that money to come in, man. She was getting the link like Bruce Springsteen. She would probably do better, but she getting like speakeasies now.
I tell you what, man. She was hot back in the day, though. She had, did have some good music.
I sing that joint every day. I butcher that joint up.
So, oh, don't we all?
All right, Derek, when'd you make a fool of yourself? What'd you do?
Look, I'm going to go back to when I was a kid. I've been playing ball my whole life. And I remember, like, when Dr. J and him and George Gervin was doing the finger roll, right? And I went to a basketball tryout. I was the best kid there, like, as always. And my pop said, when you go in for your layup, don't showboat and try to finger roll, right? We was just, practicing and all that. As soon as I got the ball, first thing I did was what?
Finger roll. How many females was in the crowd, though? Because it was somebody that you saw.
Nah, I was just a show-off. I was trying to show off, like, I was the best kid, and I tried to finger roll it, and didn't work out, man.
Yeah, that's a good one, Derek, in front of the whole camp. Derek, good stuff there. We'll get you in the mix. The finger roll gone wrong there. Wow, you're anti-Anita Baker. I didn't know that.
No, it's just that I've seen video of people that, when they go to Anita Baker shows, she kind of has an attitude with the fans.
Oh, like, you can't do that.
Yeah, you can't do that. It's her. Like, but people still go her and Lauryn Hill. Mm. Like, they're like two of the top that they kind of get divified when they do comedy.
Divified.
Yeah, because I've heard people say they go see Lauryn Hill and she makes them wait hours.
No, that's wrong.
Before she hits the stage.
So you didn't pick up your pumpkin spice latte on the way in today?
I did not.
The menus are out here.
I'm not doing that.
Yesterday when we were talking about dim sum, when you get your Chinese food, I saw pumpkin spice dumplings.
I did not get the dumplings. The vegetables at the dim sum spot, though,
yeah.
I need to figure out how to make those myself, man, because those are like, the vegetables are like banging. The string beans, I don't know how they make them, but the
it's probably
beans
they got the garlic sauce on there.
Oh yeah, they got to use Irish butter. It has to be Irish butter, but those string beans are banging.
Yeah, I did think it was a little ironic that you and Derek are talking about how maybe the pumpkin spice is a little much, but you're Mr. Plant Based Butter these days.
Yeah, plant based butter is good, man.
Yeah, so is pumpkin spice stuff. Butter. All right, Ken in Cinnaminson. Hey, Ken.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Hey, Ken.
I don't believe it's a race thing with pumpkin spice. I think it's a generational thing. You see a man, quote unquote man, walking around with a pumpkin spice latte, he's probably getting his eyebrows waxed too. So
that's all right, let me ask you, Ken. Let me ask you this. Now the lattes are a little different, right? It's a little bit more of an enhanced drink. What if it's just a pumpkin spice coffee from Wawa in a Wawa coffee cup?
He's drinking it on his way to the salon to get his eyebrows waxed. I'm telling you, it's a different mindset.
Maybe it is generational.
We've offended everybody today.
Not offended me, because I'm going to get a pumpkin coffee after the show.
I'm not drinking no pumpkin spice, man. I'm not doing it.
All right, Ken, what are you thinking on topper? I think I know where you're going.
Yeah, well, first on the Eagles real quick. I on Hurts in particular, I am expecting him to have a bounce back here. But it's not lost on me. It's in the back of my mind that this is a defense that only had 9 interceptions the entire year last year. So I'm hoping what camp doesn't really mean is that they're not going to be any better at turning the ball over on defense than they were last year. So I'm trying to keep it positive because we haven't played a game yet.
Yeah, no, that's fair. And that's why when we see him against the Packers in 2 weeks, then we'll get a feel. If he lights them up, we're all going to feel great. But if they struggle a little bit, then it's like, maybe there was more to it.
On topper, the first call notwithstanding, because people do go overboard sometimes. I know that's a shock for you to hear on WIP. But I don't think we've been hard enough on Rob Thompson, frankly. I mean, listen, just what you're talking about today, like, I'm pretty sure the manager is hired, and the reason that he has a job is because there's an expectation amongst people that are paying him that he's going to put the right guys in the lineup every day, and he's going to make the right decisions in the dugout every night, in terms of the bullpen and all. So, I mean, that's kind of the job description. So now we're supposed to be giving the guy all kinds of praise because he's basically, like, it's like telling you you're doing a great job because you show up between 10 and 2 every day. Like, it's what you're being paid to do. And the question I have for everybody who wants to kind of, jump to Rob Thompson's defense, if I asked you right now, what do you think is more likely to happen in October? the Phillies win a series because of decisions that Rob Thompson makes, or the Phillies lose a series because of decisions that Rob Thompson makes? If you're being honest, you're going to have to say it's the latter one. And the only reason that I'm saying that is because we've seen it in two straight Octobers. So this guy gets such a soft landing. You're talking about Nick Sirianni has the best record of any head coach in the first 3 years of the Eagles or the franchise, and everybody in this city wants to fire him. Yet people are calling up and defending Rob Thompson for costing us two straight postseasons.
All right, Ken, I think it's a fair way to frame it, and it's an interesting question. But let me ask you this. I will give you the Diamondbacks series. They blew it. I thought the Kimbrel thing in Game 4 and then sticking with Rojas, it was a mess. Do you think he lost the Astros series, or were the Astros just better?
Well, the Astros were better. I'm going to acknowledge that, and I have always acknowledged that. But the Astros series in particular, the thing that has always bugged me about that is quintessential Rob Thompson. He's always so worried about the righty-lefty, that the reason he lifted Zach Wheeler was because he wanted a lefty to pitch to Yordan Alvarez. When the real question is, who do you trust more to get anybody out, Zach Wheeler or Alvarado? And the answer to that is simple. So he's too conscripted to this, you know, righty lefty balance thing. When the real question should be, if you have one guy that you need to get somebody out, who's the best guy to do it? And if that's the guy who currently has the ball in his hand on the mound, you don't lift them just because the guy coming up is
left-handed. Well, I agree with that. I agree. And Alvarez is really good against lefties and righties because he's such a great hitter. So it didn't really even matter that much anyway, even if that was his idea. Ken, when did you make a fool of yourself? What'd you do?
Well, I made a fool of myself a lot. Most of the times it's involved alcohol. But the one time that it didn't, back in like the 90s, I used to live in Hoboken, and a really good friend of mine was an arranger for a composer that had a symphony. And he got me tickets. We went to this symphony, and Molly Ringwald was there. And I decided I was going to hit on Molly Ringwald.
Why not? What's wrong with that?
It
was unsuccessful.
I walked up to Molly Ringwald, and I said, hey, has anybody ever told you you look exactly like Molly Ringwald?
Yeah, that was terrible.
She basically laughed in my face. And, you know, I mean, you shoot your shot, you know, but I
that was a terrible shot, though. But, I mean, at least you shot it, though.
Wait, was that sarcastic? Were you, like, saying, were you trying to be, like, tongue-in-cheek? Like, hey, you look like Molly Ringwald, but you knew she was Molly Ringwald?
Well, yeah.
He was trying to be different.
Back in the day, men used to meet women by actually walking up to them and talking to them face-to-face. So, yeah, I was trying to be smooth and slick and make a joke that would make her chuckle. And instead, it made her chuckle in my face, like, you know, get away from me.
Ken, that's a good one. Ken, we appreciate it. Molly Ringwald, just trying to say hi in a weird way.
Yeah.
Break the ice a little bit.
I've had one of those before. Yeah. I've
have you done the Ken? Have you said, hey, you look like this person and they are that person?
Nah. You know, you try to be like back in the day. You try to be the guy that buys a drink, mm-hmm. that, you know, trying to be like that guy to buy the drink.
And what happened?
Oh, they bought the most expensive drink on the menu. Yeah.
I could see how that one might get things off to a tough start for you.
Yeah.
But you offered a drink. What do you expect?
Yeah, but you never look like, when you put yourself out there like that, you have to know, you know, most women back then, you know, if you offer them a drink, they're going to get the most expensive thing on the menu. It's kind of a tell. Yeah, they got the most expensive.
Oh, is that
thing
a tell? Like maybe that's not.
Yeah, maybe I'm. Yeah, but I got it, and then I helped her drink it. But yeah, it was pretty bad.
It sounds that. I mean, and
chivalry is dead, and most women killed it. But yeah, well, we try.
For our younger listeners, hearing Ken there say that you just have to go up to talk to someone to meet them. That's kind of foreign concept these days. 215-592-9494. Do you expect Jalen Hurts to go back to his 2022 form, Rob Thompson? Are we too hard on him? I think we are. I mean, it was open season for 2 days here. I mean, just 24 hours of Rob Thompson bashing on WIP. I'm not trying to sit here and tell you he's the best manager in baseball. I think he's a good one. I think he's done a good job with the Phillies. And I think for the most part over almost 3 years, he has achieved with the roster he has had. I don't think he has underachieved with the team he has had. They, you know, they're not the best team of all time in terms of talent, but they're a good team, and they're the best team in the NL East, seven games up. I think we're too hard on Topper. 215-592-9494. And speaking of fools, I was looking for the biggest fool today. Tell us how you made a fool of yourself for a spot in the Fantasy League. You got to hear some audio from the Braves radio last night. We'll get to that next. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillo, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. We got a lot to do on the show today, including maybe some major credit to Elliott Shore Parks. He is now invaded a place.
94 WIP breaking news.
What do we got here?
Eagles just made a trade.
Oh, I am unprepared for this. I haven't seen this. This will be first glance, first reaction. What do you got for us,
yeah,
Kyle?
Yeah, so Adam Schefter just tweeted, a rare in-division trade. Washington is sending former first-round pick Jahan Dotson and a fifth-round pick to the Eagles in exchange for a 2025 third.
Wow.
And two seventh-round picks.
All right, so that's a name we brought up a couple days ago,
yep.
Right? Jahan Dotson.
Yes,
we were talking about guys they could acquire, Hugh, as another wide receiver.
Yeah, young receiver.
So if I go back to our conversation that day, we were wondering, like, what's wrong with Jahan Dotson that a team would trade him in the division? We kind of thought the idea of it made sense, but why would Washington trade him here? Well, they just did. So Jahan Dotson is now on his way to the Philadelphia Eagles. From my perspective, they gave up a decent amount. Our third-round pick is not nothing. Now, I know they get the fifth back, too.
They get the fifth back, yep.
And they swap, and they give some sevens. But a third-round pick is not insignificant to trade for a player. Hugh, obviously the Eagles were not comfortable with their wide receiver depth, despite Britton Covey having a nice camp and Johnny Wilson doing some things early in camp. They needed another body. I said this two or three weeks ago. I just wasn't comfortable with it. So now they get a former first-round pick in here in Jahan Dotson. Hugh, what's your reaction here as the Eagles add another former first-rounder?
Good depth. Somebody. It's kind of weird because you're right. That never happens in the division. You never see them trade a good player in the division. It's going to be interesting to see how he fits into this wide receiver room, and especially when they play the Commodores, how he's going to that's going to be a game. I'm pretty sure he's circling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's moving right up the street. So yeah, I think it's pretty interesting that they did it inside the division. That normally never happens before the season starts.
I wonder if there's more to this than we know. Like, I wonder why he fell out of favor there, because it's only his third. He's a first round pick going into his third year. It's not even his contract year. We're like, they're not going to re-sign him. They might as well get something back for him. Maybe there's more that we know. But look, his first 2 years, you know, we had an example of this a couple years ago with Jalen Reagor, right? A first round pick. It just knew it wasn't going to work, and everyone just needed to go their separate ways. He hasn't been that bad, right? Like, you look at his numbers, 35 catches, 523 yards as a rookie. I actually think that's a pretty good rookie year for, you know, a guy coming in the NFL. Then last year, he had 49 catches. So, 14 more. He went backwards in terms of yards per catch, only 10.6 compared to 14.9. 7 touchdowns as a rookie, 4 as a second-year player. I don't know. On the surface, it feels like the Eagles might be stealing a player that has still some upside. I kind of find it bizarre they're giving up this quickly on him, Kyle. It's not like he's been a Jalen Reagor disaster. He was a first-round pick, and they don't exactly have 3-star receivers in Washington. They just have Terry McLaurin, so it is odd. I'm excited the Eagles are, first of all, I'm excited they're getting another receiver in here.
Yeah.
And I think he's worth taking a chance on.
I do wonder, sometimes, you know, we do this when, like with Saquon leaving the Giants, like Washington Commanders aren't exactly known for making the greatest organizational decisions. They could be giving up on him a little bit too early.
Yep.
It also makes me wonder if they are preparing for adding another wide receiver, you know, say like Brandon Ayuk from San Francisco.
You're
like,
trying to move, you're talking about trying to move guys.
Yeah. So
try to get ready for the new guy.
Like, they're trying to gain picks. I don't know. That's sort of just total speculation, but it is interesting to move it off from this early in his career.
Well, the other thing that is worth noting, Hugh, it's a totally different coaching staff, right? They didn't draft Jahan Dotson.
Yeah, he wasn't their guy.
It's Dan Quinn. It's Cliff Kingsbury now as the coordinator. Actually, when you search him, this came up a couple of days ago. NFL insider thought he could get cut. So I mean, obviously he was
on the bubble.
They were done with him down there, and they get something back from the Eagles. All right, so the Eagles trade for a third wide receiver, Jahan Dotson, coming here. I expect him, Hugh, and I know we haven't seen him, and it's not like, you know, he's done a lot in the NFL, but I expect him to be the slot receiver. I don't think the Eagles would have traded
him. Oh, no, he's going to come in here and play.
He's going to play.
I mean, it's like, guys, obviously they didn't like what they were getting from that position, Joe.
Yep.
So it's obvious that he's going to come in here, and he's already slotted to be in that position. No question about that.
The other thing he provides, Hugh, and I thought this was an important thing when we talked about this a couple weeks ago, if, and you know, you hope it doesn't happen, but if Devontae Smith or A.J. Brown were to miss a few weeks, this is a guy that's played, you know, he's been a starting receiver in the NFL. Like, it was a lot for me to imagine let's just say AJ, you know, pulls a calf, right? And he's out 3 weeks.
Yeah.
It was hard for me to imagine Johnny Wilson was going to play every down as an outside receiver, or Britton Covey could play every down.
Like, yeah, and give you that contribution like those guys gave you. Yeah, I get that.
This feels like a little parachute, just in case. You know, he could play the slot, but also it's in case they have an injury there. All right, so the Eagles make a move, and I don't.
We got three first
round
receivers.
Totally three guys off there.
No, that's all right.
We got three bona fide receivers.
We'll get back to the Braves nonsense and their radio stuff last night. Now you can react to this as well. Yeah, you mentioned first round receivers. It's have you realized the theme of this offseason with Howie has been former first round picks he's brought in? It's crazy. Kenny Pickett was a first round pick. John Ross, who's probably going to get cut here, was a first round pick. Mekhi Becton, first round pick. Saquon Barkley. It's like Howie's just scooping up these first rounders that, for whatever reason, their teams were done with.
You know what the irony is?
What's that?
They all play offense for the most part.
Yeah. Kenny Pickett. Well, Devin White. Devin White was a top five pick.
Yeah. But most of them were guys that played offense, so the whole defense is a luxury, not a necessity thing. Kind of played.
I mean, they did use their first round pick though on a corner.
No, we got on Jeff right now.
Kind of played.
It all comes back to Hughes stuff. Yeah, it all comes back.
All roads lead back to me.
Just one last thing, and sorry if you mentioned this already, but Schefter did point out that this is the second time the Eagles traded with Washington in the last few months because they traded with him to go up and get Cooper DeJean.
That's right.
Yeah.
No, that draft video.
A defensive
that came
move,
out.
By the way. Hugh.
Yeah, when they traded up, their first two picks were defense.
Yeah, but it's still a lot.
Defense,
but they paying the offensive guys. So they giving them all the bread.
Howie's after the brand names. I mean, I don't know if I ever remember an offseason where an NFL team brought in this many former first round picks. Usually, first round picks stay with their team, right? Like they don't.
They give them a little bit more. They give them a little bit more runway.
But doesn't it feel like the Eagles are like, "Hey, you're done with him? All right, we'll take him.
We'll take a flyer. We'll kick the tires."
Right, Steelers, you're done with Kenny Pickett after 2 years. We'll take him. So, how many players did the Eagles have from that draft a couple years ago? Right, Pickett and Jahan Dotson were both in the same first round 2 years ago, and now they're Philadelphia Eagles. So we'll see how it works out. But I like the idea. I thought they needed another receiver. I'm glad they brought one in. It is interesting to me, though, they give up that much. A third-round pick going back is not nothing. That's a real pick.
No. I mean, you know, you talk about where that's where N'Kobe Dean was drafted and how he's playing right now. So, yeah, that's pretty significant. But it tells me that they want to put this offense in the best possible position they can to be successful, man. That's kind of exciting.
So that's similar to what they gave for Pickett, right? It was that was like a fourth-round pick?
They swapped, didn't they?
They swapped, and they kind of moved down in that draft.
Such a weird trade.
It is. And now I guess they have control over Dotson for 2 years. This will be his third year.
It does sound right. He's a first-round pick.
It'll be 3 years.
Yeah.
Potential control, right, because they have the fifth-year option. All right, so Jahan Dotson headed to the Philadelphia Eagles. You react to that as well, the stuff with Topper and Jalen Hurts. Jeff in Wilmington is up on WIP. Hey, Jeff.
Jeff.
What's up, guys?
Hey, Jeff.
They can tell a lot about people when you just listen to what they say. And that first guy that called this morning and Ken really aren't that much different, except the first guy's parents didn't love him and probably abandoned him too soon.
I like how I went against
Yeah, they person. Both don't like Topper. One handles it like an adult, though. The other one did not.
Yeah, I don't really particularly like Ken's take on pumpkin spice. I don't particularly like it, like I told you guys the other day, but I'm not going to bash people that do. So, with that said, I am okay with Topper. I have questioned a couple of things that he's done, but more often than not, he does make the right decision for the long haul. I didn't like how he brought in Alvarado the other day, 2 days ago, in that tight situation with the struggles Alvarado's had. That I wouldn't have done that, me personally, but he did and, you know, ended up losing the game. But I don't know, man. The guy seems to have a handle on the team, and they have the respect. They respect him. And that goes a long way towards the end of the season. Now, he does manage that bullpen a little differently than most guys do. I do like how he used Hoffman yesterday in a tight spot, you know, where the game seemed to be on in the balance, and just shut him down at that point. The new guy, the new closer, so to speak, a little bit not sure about him yet.
Shaky. I think shaky's the word there, Jeff, on Estevez, yeah.
A little bit, yeah. But other than that, I think he gets a little bit. I mean, if you read social media, he should have been fired last year a couple of times. But
he's the village idiot. On days where they lose, he's the worst manager in baseball. We have a caller saying a 6-year-old can manage a team. Yeah,
the Harper RC feud isn't quite the Hatfields and the McCoys, but I love it, and I love it because Arcia is basically just a so-so player, and I love how he just
coming at
like
Harper's neck.
Yeah, and I like how Harper responded, and hopefully this will prime Harper, you know, go on a run here. And I'm going to go a hot take today, and I'm going to predict Harper hits 2 home runs.
Well, if he does, you know what he's got to do. He's got to stare down Arcia. Jeff, we appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, we could be Orlando Arcia is a zero trying to become a one to steal a Howard Eskin line. I mean, he's nobody in Major League Baseball. All right, so back to the Jahan Dotson thing for a second, because I'm just fascinated that they traded him within the division. Hugh, do you think they're wrong on him or Howie's right on him, if you had a guess?
You know, it's weird, man, because immediately when I think about being traded in the division, I think about Donovan McNabb and when that happened.
Well, Andy was right. Donovan was close to the end.
And it kind of and it just kind of makes you wonder. I mean, because, you know, you talked about, especially when you talk about the conversation that we've had the last couple months about the Commodores and how you feel that they're going to be a better team.
Mm-hmm.
You traded away a receiver.
16th overall pick 2 years ago.
Yeah, a receiver that potentially could help your young quarterback. Like, there's a lot of thoughts going through my head. Like, you know, I know Coach Quinn. I was in Atlanta when Coach Quinn was there. He's not an offensive coach. He's not. And then you think about Cliff Kingsbury, the fact that, you know, he took a hiatus to go to Thailand and live for a year. Like, I don't know what they're thinking when they're making a move like this. It kind of makes you wonder. But Howie's, and then on the flip side of that, so many thoughts. Then I think of Howie. Howie's a pretty smart GM, and he knows. He's done a pretty good job when he make trades like this of getting something out of the player. So it's just it got me scratching my head a little bit.
So there's 100%,
man.
There's also this aspect to it, and we trust Howie. Hugh, just to bring back to your career, sometimes these things work out for both sides, right? Like, and you could correct me if I'm wrong, Hugh. It seemed like the Jets thought you didn't fit anymore,
mm-hmm.
right? And they went on to have success without you the next year.
Yes.
But then you had success here.
Yes.
Right. Like, so there's a chance.
Win-win.
Like, I know, and Kyle's right. The Commanders make mistakes. I mean, they do dumb things.
They made
things.
A lot of mistakes.
But they also could just say, he's not a fit for us. New coaching staff. And it, like, this could work out for both. I mean, that's possible. And I hope it does for the Eagles. It's just bizarre that he was the 16th pick 2 years ago. And now he's on a division. It's one thing to, like, send him to, I don't know, like the Seahawks, right? Like, they send him here. He's got to play them twice a year. Fascinating trade. 215-592-9494. David in Wilmington is up on WIP. Hey, David.
What's going on, guys? So with the Phillies,
mm-hmm.
the starting pitching has been consistent and fantastic. Okay, this is Topper's fault because when your team's not hitting, you got to play small ball. You got to manufacture runs. You got to steal bases. You got to bunt.
Like they did last
they did
night.
They did that last night.
You got to scratch and claw every inning, even if it's just for one run.
Well, but to be fair, David. How many? They don't have a whole roster of players that are capable of this stuff. Like Schwarber, Harper, Bohm. This is not what they. You're not going to make those guys bunt or run, right? Like, you only have so many guys that you could even do that with.
Yeah, but I mean, the other night you had men on first and second in like the fourth inning with Stott. You could have laid a bunt down. He ended up striking out, and JT ends up hitting a single right after.
Fourth inning's early for bunting. You want to give away outs in the fourth inning?
We're not hitting at all. So, I mean, get runs when you can. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, you give yourself potentially a better chance at runs. I get that. So you're down on. So you think we're appropriately hard on Topper? You don't think it's too much?
No, not at all. Not at all. I love the fan base.
Well,
he deserves it.
Deserves it? They're up. They're 7 games up in first place.
Not in the last month.
Well, I can't argue with you on that. All right, David, give us a moment. You made a fool out of yourself. What'd you do?
So post-COVID, we had a one-year-old birthday party for my son, and I ended up introducing my girlfriend's parents as my ex-fiancé's parents.
Wait a minute, what now?
So say it again. What'd you do?
I introduced my girlfriend's parents as my ex's parents.
As your ex's parents? Like, hey, these are my ex's parents?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awkward. How'd that go?
Yeah.
Very.
Why are they there? Oh, okay, because you
the
married
birthday party.
The birthday for the kid, for the ex, right? That's a
no,
lot.
No, it was a birthday party for our son.
So,
I introduced her parents as my ex's parents.
So how did everyone handle it? Like, did you realize, or did they say,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, well, I looked up and seen the look on some people's faces, and I was like, uh-oh.
Oh, yeah.
Must have been the gummies, Hugh.
Yeah, that's...
Must have been the gummies.
That's a rough one. David, we appreciate it. All right, David, we got you. We'll get you in the mix for the league.
I ain't got that. He introduced his ex's parents to his ex's parents.
I think he introduced the new partner to the ex's parents.
And said
this is. I think it's just awkward. Conflicting.
Why are they there?
Well, because I guess that there's
the kid. But that's what I'm saying. It was I'm confused.
Maybe they're
somebody help me out with
that. Okay, I think it's they're probably the grandparents is what I'm guessing. Okay. Right? So they're there for the kid's party.
Yeah, okay, the grandparents. So it was two sets of parents there, right?
I guess, yeah.
You didn't get it either.
I was a little off.
I'm just making sure. Like, you know, I know sometimes stuff goes over my head. I'm just, like, you didn't get it, so it kind of, you know what I mean?
I think it was, it sounded awkward, no matter how you frame it.
I'm just saying, somebody help me out, because that kind of threw me a little bit. I'm thrown off.
Speaking of awkward, can we all go around and say where we're at in terms of confidence now with our new closer here with the Phillies? Because I'm on shaky ground, everybody. I know he got the save last night. Carlos Estevez, Hugh, has come in here, and he's not looked great. He's gotten a couple saves. He blew it last Friday, but Trey got the hit in the bottom of the ninth to win the game. Last night, traffic on the bases. Hugh, they gave up a lot for him. He was the big move, right? Like, he was the big move at the trade deadline for Dave Dombrowski. I have some trepidation with this guy when he comes in the game. It feels like there's always runners on base, right? There's always some traffic out there where it's like, oh no, is he going to blow this game? I do not have a lot of confidence right now in the Phillies' new closer.
No. Listen, I'm looking at the thread that we had last night during the course of this game, and it started kind of like at 9 o'clock.
Yep.
And the first one was Kirkery Trust Meter. And you sent an emoji. It was like the grit and the teeth. And Kyle laughed. And I just kind of sent an LOL. And that's when I said, hey, heading up to do my last workout. Keep me posted. So now we go to this thing. And you sent it. This was about 9:44. So I'm well into my workout.
And they're trying to close this thing out now.
And Kyle sends Estevez Trust Meter. And I sent, and now you're asking for too much.
Yeah, you are not confident.
Now you're asking for too much, and you were like, he has it.
Well, he did, but it didn't go smoothly.
It didn't go smoothly. So now, with all of this going on, because there was about a couple minutes went between text, so I had to tune in. So I had to, you know, get on my iPad and tune into the game. That's when I sent Kyle the thing. I was like, thanks a lot, Kyle. Now I can't concentrate on sweating to death on this Stairmaster. I got to watch this.
Well, good. Somebody had to get you to lock in.
Yeah, and it was one of those things, man, where, you know, it was heart palpitation time, you know?
It feels like all his outings are heart palpitation time.
And then here's where it got me. The irony was when Whit Merrifield came up, and you talk about the night that he had the other night.
Yep.
And I'm like, dog, don't let this dude get a hit. And I'd be damned if he didn't get one, but Bryce Harper came up big.
Yeah, he knocked that ball down.
Yeah, he came up big in that one. But that was a heart palpitation.
Yeah, he's got me on. I just feel like we're going to have heart attacks in October when this guy comes in.
Yeah.
So since he got here, it's not been bad. He has a 2.79 ERA. He's appeared in 9 games as a Philly. But his walks are way up. When he was with the Angels, he was very low walk rate. He was not walking batters. Since he got here, it's almost 3 walks per 9 innings. It feels like every time he goes out there, it's like, you know, we're one bad moment away from him blowing the game. So I like the idea they could use Hoffman in different spots and they can move him around because he's the kind of the fireman out of the bullpen. But I'm on shaky ground with this closer. 215-592-9494. Ron and Monco. What's up, Ron?
Joe.
Ron.
Oh. Is this the line I get in to insert my nose in Tomper's butt? Is this the line I get in?
I think you take a shot, sir.
Are you going to be all right, Ron? What do you got to say about the manager?
You know, Joe, I never thought I'd see the day, you know, where you sold out. It turned into a pom-pom shaky company guy. I never thought I'd see that.
That's not what we're doing here. I'm trying, as always, I'm trying to bring people to the light.
I love Ron.
I'm trying to show you the truth here, and you guys refuse to see it. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, you know what? Here's the truth of the matter. The guy's a hack. That's what he is. Okay, and Girardi didn't have half the team of what this guy's got.
Oh, he had half this team.
Sorry,
come on.
He didn't have Schwarber.
He had Schwarber. They were 22-29.
Who?
The last year that he was here, they had Schwarber and Castellanos and Harper, and he couldn't get out of his own way.
All right, well, I stand corrected there, but it doesn't matter. Listen, the guy, the guy sits on his hands. And he watches, and he waits, and he waits. And when he needs to make a change, he doesn't do it. And he drags on weeks into months, and he watches guys just turning into puddles out there, like Stott, like the right fielder. And then when the guy's backed into a corner, he finally does something. Okay? He finally does something. And it's like he just invented the wheel. With Weston Winston, whatever the hell the kid's name is, okay? It's like, and he says, oh, you know what? I'm actually thinking about putting him in tomorrow. Well, do you have much of a choice, dude? You know, you got guys that don't hit. Sosa helped carry that team while Trey Turner was out. And when Trey Turner came back, he went right back to that, and you never saw him again until when? Until just recently. The guy's not a good manager, man. He lets these, he's the monkey in charge of the bananas, dude. That's what he is.
Well, the bananas are up 7 games in the NL East, all right?
It doesn't matter, because guess what? If Atlanta was in full force, you would be in second place if you were lucky.
Who's,
now, argue
who's
with
you?
That.
The Phillies?
The Phillies, Ron, sit now today.
We.
They sit today. They sit today with the second best record in baseball. He's won 57% of his games since he took over. They've been to the NLCS and the World Series.
Yeah. He lets these guys run. He gives these guys too much rope. He gives way too much rope. They run the show. And,
well, I don't disagree with you on that. Ron, we appreciate the phone call. I love how we had an example. They brought in Joe Girardi. This guy, World Series winning manager.
Yeah,
he's a winner.
He pushed the right button.
And all he did is trip over his own shoelaces for 2 years, and they had to fire him too. But anyone can win with this team. Bryce Harper, anyone can win. Bryce Harper's had a lot of 500 years. Go look at his career. A lot of years where Bryce Harper wins nothing. Actually, he's won nothing in his career. But Rob Thompson, NLCS World Series, he chooses not to pinch hit on Sunday. And I'm with everyone. I disagreed with that. I didn't like that. But the guy's still a good manager. I mean, we're just over the top. 215-592-9494. We promise an embarrassing Braves radio moment from last night. We'll get to that. What's your most embarrassing moment where you made a fool of yourself? Best one we hear today wins a spot in the Fantasy League. Your calls to the Phillies with Topper. We started with some Hurts conversation. We continue that. Plus, Jahan Dotson. The Eagles have traded for the Commanders wide receiver, giving up a third-round pick in the process. Jahan Dotson, the new Eagles number 3 wide receiver. Your reaction to that? Lots. Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillo, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. We got a lot to do on the show today, including maybe some major credit to Elliott Shore Parks. He is now invaded a place.
94 WIP breaking news.
What we got here?
The Eagles just made a trade.
Oh, I am unprepared for this. I haven't seen this. This will be first glance, first reaction. What do you got for us,
yeah,
Kyle?
Yeah, so Adam Schefter just tweeted, a rare in-division trade. Washington is sending former first-round pick Jahan Dotson and a fifth-round pick to the Eagles in exchange for a 2025 third.
Wow.
And 2 seventh-round picks.
All right, so that's a name we brought up a couple days ago,
yep.
Right? Jahan Dotson.
Yes,
we were talking about guys they could acquire, Hugh, as another wide receiver.
Yeah, young receiver.
So if I go back to our conversation that day, we were wondering, like, what's wrong with Jahan Dotson that a team would trade him in the division? We kind of thought the idea of it made sense, but why would Washington trade him here? Well, they just did. So Jahan Dotson is now on his way to the Philadelphia Eagles. From my perspective, they gave up a decent amount. Our third-round pick is not nothing. Now, I know they get the fifth back, too.
They get the fifth back, yep.
And they swap, and they give some sevens. But a third-round pick is not insignificant to trade for a player. Hugh, obviously the Eagles were not comfortable with their wide receiver depth, despite Britton Covey having a nice camp and Johnny Wilson doing some things early in camp. They needed another body. I said this two or three weeks ago. I just wasn't comfortable with it. So now they get a former first-round pick in here in Jahan Dotson. Hugh, what's your reaction here as the Eagles add another former first-rounder?
Good depth. It's kind of weird because you're right. That never happens in the division. You never see them trade a good player in the division. It's going to be interesting to see how he fits into this wide receiver room. and especially when they play the Commodores, how he's gonna that's gonna be a game. I'm pretty sure he's circling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's moving right up the street. So yeah, I think it's pretty interesting that they did it inside the division. That normally never happens before the season starts.
I wonder if there's more to this than we know. Like, I wonder why he fell out of favor there, because it's only his third. He's a first round pick going into his third year. It's not even his contract year. We're like, they're not going to re-sign him. They might as well get something back for him. Maybe there's more that we know. But look, his first 2 years, you know, we had an example of this a couple years ago with Jalen Reagor, right? A first-round pick. It just knew it wasn't going to work, and everyone just needed to go their separate ways. He hasn't been that bad, right? Like, you look at his numbers, 35 catches, 523 yards as a rookie. I actually think that's a pretty good rookie year for, you know, a guy coming in the NFL. Then last year, he had 49 catches, so 14 more. He went backwards in terms of yards per catch, only 10.6 compared to 14.9. 7 touchdowns as a rookie, 4 as a second-year player. I don't know. On the surface, it feels like the Eagles might be stealing a player that has still some upside. I kind of find it bizarre they're giving up this quickly on him, Kyle. It's not like he's been a Jalen Reagor disaster. He was a first-round pick, and they don't exactly have 3-star receivers in Washington. They just have Terry McLaurin, so it is odd. I'm excited the Eagles are, first of all, I'm excited they're getting another receiver in here.
Yeah.
And I think he's worth taking a chance on.
I do wonder, sometimes, you know, we do this when, like with Saquon leaving the Giants, like Washington Commanders aren't exactly known for making the greatest organizational decisions. They could be giving up on him a little bit too early.
Yep.
It also makes me wonder if they are preparing for adding another wide receiver, you know, say like Brandon Ayuk from San Francisco.
You're
like
trying to move,
move
you're talking
coming.
About trying to move guys.
Yeah. So
trying to get ready for the new guy.
Like they're trying to gain picks. I don't know. That's sort of just total speculation, but it is interesting to move it off from this early in his career.
Well, the other thing that is worth noting, Hugh, it's a totally different coaching staff, right? They didn't draft Jahan Dotson.
Yeah, he wasn't their guy.
It's Dan Quinn. It's Cliff Kingsbury now as the coordinator. Actually, when you search him, this came up a couple of days ago. NFL insider thought he could get cut. So I mean, obviously he was
on the bubble.
They were done with him down there, and they get something back from the Eagles. All right, so the Eagles trade for a third wide receiver, Jahan Dotson, coming here. I expect him, Hugh, and I know we haven't seen him, and it's not like, you know, he's done a lot in the NFL, but I expect him to be the slot receiver. I don't think the Eagles would have traded a third round
pick. He's
going to
come in here and play.
He's going to play.
I mean, it's like, guys, obviously they didn't like what they were getting from that position, Joe.
Yep.
So it's obvious that he's going to come in here, and he's already slotted to be in that position. No question about
the
that.
The other thing he provides, Hugh, and I thought this was an important thing when we talked about this a couple weeks ago, if, and you know, you hope it doesn't happen, but if Devontae Smith or A.J. Brown were to miss a few weeks, this is a guy that's played, you know, he's been a starting receiver in the NFL. Like, it was a lot for me to imagine. Let's just say A.J., you know, pulls a calf, right? And he's out 3 weeks.
Yeah.
It was hard for me to imagine Johnny Wilson was going to play every down as an outside receiver, or Britton Covey could play every down.
Like, yeah, and give you that contribution like those guys gave you. Yeah, I get that.
This feels like a little parachute, just in case. You know, he could play the slot, but also it's in case they have an injury there. All right, so the Eagles make a move, and I
so
don't.
We got three first
started
round
totally
receivers.
Three guys off there.
No, that's all right.
We got three bona fide receivers.
We'll get
potential.
Back to the Braves nonsense and their radio stuff last night. Now you can react to this as well. Yeah, you mentioned first round receivers. Have you realized the theme of this offseason with Howie has been former first round picks he's brought in? It's crazy. Kenny Pickett was a first round pick. John Ross, who's probably going to get cut here, was a first round pick. Mekhi Becton, first round pick. Saquon Barkley. It's like Howie's just scooping up these first rounders that, for whatever reason, their teams were done with.
You know what the irony is?
What's that?
They all play offense for the most part.
Yeah.
Kenny Pickett.
Well, Devin White. Devin White was a top five pick.
Yeah. But most of them were guys that played offense, so the whole defense is a luxury, not a necessity thing. Kind of played.
I mean, they did use their first round pick though on a corner.
No,
on
kind
Joe
of,
right
kind
now.
Kind of played.
It all comes back to Hugh's stuff. Yeah, it all comes back.
All roads lead back to me.
Just one last thing, and sorry if you mentioned this already, but Schefter did point out that this is the second time the Eagles traded with Washington in the last few months because they traded with him to go up and get Cooper DeJean.
That's right.
Yeah.
No, that draft video.
A defensive
that came
move,
out.
By the way, Hugh.
Yeah, when they traded up, their first two picks were defense.
Yeah, but it's still a lot.
Defense,
but they paying the offensive guys. So they giving them all the bread.
Howie's after the brand names. I mean, I don't know if I ever remember an offseason where an NFL team brought in this many former first round picks. usually first round picks stay with their team, right? Like they don't.
They give him a little bit more. They give him a little bit more runway.
But it, doesn't it feel like the Eagles are like, hey, you're done with him? All right, we'll take him.
We'll take a flyer. We'll kick the tires.
Right, Steelers, you're done with Kenny Pickett after 2 years? We'll take him. So how many players did the Eagles have from that draft a couple years ago? Right, Pickett and Jahan Dotson were both in the same first round 2 years ago, and now they're Philadelphia Eagles. So we'll see how it works out, but I like the idea. I thought they needed another receiver. I'm glad they brought one in. It is interesting to me, though, they gave up that much. A third-round pick going back is not nothing. That's a real pick.
No. I mean, you know, you talk about where that's where N'Kobe Dean was drafted and how he's playing right now. So, yeah, that's pretty significant. But it tells me that they want to put this offense in the best possible position they can to be successful, man. That's kind of exciting.
So that's similar to what they gave for Pickett, right? It was a fourth-round pick?
They swapped, didn't they?
They swapped, and they kind of moved down in that draft.
Such a weird trade.
It is. And now I guess they have control over Dotson for 2 years. This will be his third year.
It does sound right. He's a first-round pick.
It'll be 3 years.
Yeah.
Potential control, right, because they have the fifth-year option. All right, so Jahan Dotson headed to the Philadelphia Eagles. You react to that as well, the stuff with Topper and Jalen Hurts. Jeff in Wilmington is up on WIP. Hey, Jeff.
Jeff.
What's up, guys?
Hey, Jeff.
They can tell a lot about people when you just listen to what they say. And that first guy that called this morning and Ken really aren't that much different, except the first guy's parents didn't love him and probably abandoned him too soon.
I like how I went to get
it. Yeah, they both don't like Topper. One handles it like an adult, though. The other one did not.
Yeah, I don't really particularly like Ken's take on pumpkin spice. I don't particularly like it, like I told you guys the other day, but I'm not going to bash people that do. So, with that said, I am okay with Topper. I have questioned a couple of things that he's done, but more often than not, he does make the right decision for the long haul. I didn't like how he brought in Alvarado the other day, 2 days ago, in that tight situation with the struggles Alvarado's had. That I wouldn't have done that, me personally, but he did and, you know, ended up losing the game. But I don't know, man. The guy seems to have a handle on the team, and they have the respect. They respect him. And that goes a long way towards the end of the season. Now, he does manage that bullpen a little differently than most guys do. I do like how he used Hoffman yesterday in a tight spot, you know, where the game seemed to be on in the balance, and just shut him down at that point. The new guy, the new closer, so to speak, a little bit not sure about him yet.
Shaky. I think shaky's the word there, Jeff, on Estevez, yeah.
A little bit, yeah. But other than that, I think he gets a little bit. I mean, if you read social media, he should have been fired last year a couple of times. But
he's the village idiot. On days where they lose, he's the worst manager in baseball. We have a caller saying a 6-year-old can manage a team. Yeah.
The Harper Arcia feud isn't quite the Hatfields and the McCoys, but I love it. And I love it because Arcia is basically just a so-so player, and I love how he just.
Coming
at
Harper's neck.
Yeah. And I like how Harper responded. And hopefully this will prime Harper, you know, go on a run here. And I'm going to go a hot take today, and I'm going to predict Harper hits 2 home runs.
Ooh,
today.
Well, if he does, you know what he's got to do. He's got to stare down Arcia. Jeff, we appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, we could be – Orlando Arcia is a 0 trying to become a 1 to steal a Howard Eskin line. I mean, he's nobody in Major League Baseball. All right, so back to the Jahan Dotson thing for a second, because I'm just fascinated that they traded him within the division. Hugh, do you think they're wrong on him or Howie's right on him, if you had a guess?
You know, it's weird, man, because immediately when I think about being traded in the division, I think about Donovan McNabb and when that happened.
Well, Andy was right. Donovan was close to the end.
Yeah, and it kind of and it just kind of makes you wonder. I mean, because, you know, you talked about, especially when you talk about the conversation that we've had the last couple months about the Commodores. And how you feel that they're going to be a better team.
Mm-hmm.
You traded away a receiver.
16th overall pick 2 years ago.
Yeah, a receiver that potentially could help your young quarterback. Like, there's a lot of thoughts going through my head. Like, you know, I know Coach Quinn. I was in Atlanta when Coach Quinn was there. He's not an offensive coach. He's not. And then you think about Cliff Kingsbury, the fact that, you know, he took a hiatus to go to Thailand and live for a year. Like, I don't know what they're thinking when they're making a move like this. It kind of makes you wonder. But Howie's – and then on the flip side of that, so many thoughts. Then I think of Howie. Howie's a pretty smart GM, and he knows he's done a pretty good job when he make trades like this of getting something out of the player. So it's just it got me scratching my head a little bit.
So there's 100%,
man.
There's also this aspect to it, and we trust Howie. There's this aspect. Hugh, just to bring back to your career. sometimes these things work out for both sides, right? Like, and you could correct me if I'm wrong, Hewitt, it seemed like the Jets thought you didn't fit anymore, right? And they went on to have success without you the next year.
Yes.
But then you had success here.
Yes.
Right? Like, so there's a chance.
Win-win.
Like, I know, and Kyle's right, the Commanders make mistakes. I mean, they do dumb things.
They made
things.
A lot of mistakes.
But they also could just say, hey, he's not a fit for us, new coaching staff. And it, like, this could work out for both. I mean, that's possible, and I hope it does for the Eagles. It's just bizarre that he was the 16th pick 2 years ago, and now he's on a division. It's one thing to, like, send him to, I don't know, like the Seahawks, right? Like, they send him here. He's got to play them twice a year. Fascinating trade. 215-592-9494. David in Wilmington is up on WIP. Hey, David.
What's going on, guys? So with the Phillies, the starting pitching has been consistent and fantastic. Okay, this is Topper's fault. Because when your team's not hitting, you got to play small ball. You got to manufacture runs. You got to steal bases. You got to bunt.
Like they did last
they
night?
Did that, they did that last night.
You got to scratch and claw every inning, even if it's just for one run.
Well, but to be fair, David, how many? They don't have a whole roster of players that are capable of this stuff. Like Schwarber, Harper, Bohm. This is not what they. You're not going to make those guys bunt or run, right? Like, you only have so many guys that you could even do that with.
Yeah, but I mean, the other night you had men on first and second in like the fourth inning with Stott. You could have laid a bunt down. He ended up striking out, and JT ends up hitting a single right after.
Fourth inning's early for bunting. You want to give away outs in the fourth inning?
We're not hitting at all. So, I mean, get runs when you can. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, you give yourself potentially a better chance at runs. I get that. So you're down on. So you think we're appropriately hard on Topper? You don't think it's too much?
No, not at all. Not at all. I love the fan base. Well, he deserves it.
Deserves it? They're up. They're seven games up in first place.
Not in the last month.
Well, I can't argue with you on that. All right, David, give us a moment. You made a fool out of yourself. What'd you do?
So post-COVID, we had a one-year-old birthday party for my son, and I ended up introducing my girlfriend's parents as my ex-fiancé's parents.
Wait a minute, what now?
So say it again. What'd you do?
I introduced my girlfriend's parents as my ex's parents.
As your ex's parents? Like, hey, these are my ex's parents?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's awkward. How'd that go?
Yeah.
Very.
Why are they there? Oh, okay, because you
the
married
birthday party.
The birthday for the kid, for the ex, right? That's a
no,
lot.
No, it was a birthday party for our son. So, I introduced her parents as my ex's parents.
So how did everyone handle it? Like, did you realize, or did they say,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, well, I looked up and seen the look on some people's faces, and I was like, uh-oh.
Oh, yeah.
Must have been the gummies, Hugh.
Yeah, that's...
Must have been the gummies.
That's a rough one. David, we appreciate it. All right, David, we got you. We'll get you in the mix for the league.
I ain't got that. Okay,
I think he introduced
his ex's parent. He introduced his parents to his ex's parents.
I think he introduces the new partner to
the ex's parents.
And said this is. I think it's just awkward. You know, conflicting.
Why are they there?
Well, because I guess that there's
the baby,
the kid.
But that's what I'm saying. It was I'm
the kid.
I'm confused.
Maybe they're
somebody help me out with
that. Okay, I think it's they're probably the grandparents is what I'm guessing,
okay.
Right? So they're there for the kids' party.
Yeah, okay, the grandparents. So it was two sets of parents there, right?
I guess, yeah.
You didn't get it either.
I was a little off.
I'm just making sure. Like, you know, I know sometimes stuff goes over my head. I'm just, like, you didn't get it, so it kind of, you know what I mean?
I think it was it sounded awkward, no matter how you frame it.
I'm just saying, help me, somebody help me out, because... That kind of threw me little bit. I'm thrown off.
Speaking of awkward, can we all go around and say where we're at in terms of confidence now with our new closer here with the Phillies? Because I'm on shaky ground, everybody. I know he got the save last night. Carlos Estevez, Hugh, has come in here, and he's not looked great. He's gotten a couple saves. He blew it last Friday, but Trey got the hit in the bottom of the ninth to win the game. Last night, traffic on the bases. Hugh, they gave up a lot for him. He was the big move, right? Like, he was the big move at the trade deadline for Dave Dombrowski. I have some trepidation with this guy when he comes in the game. It feels like there's always runners on base, right? There's always some traffic out there where it's like, oh, no, is he going to blow this game? Hugh, I do not have a lot of confidence right now in the Phillies' new closer.
No, listen. I'm looking at the thread that we had last night during the course of this game, and it started kind of like at 9 o'clock.
Yep.
And the first one was Kirkering trust meter. And you sent an emoji. It was like the grit and the teeth.
The
like,
teeth chattering,
and Kyle laughed. And I just kind of sent an LOL. And that's when I said, hey, heading up to do my last workout. Keep me posted. So now we go to this thing. And you sent it. This was about 9:44. So I'm well into my workout.
And they're trying to close this thing out now.
And Kyle sends Estevez trust meter. And I sent, and now you're asking for too much.
Yeah, you are not confident.
Now you're asking for too much. And you were like, he has it.
Well, he did, but it didn't go smoothly.
It didn't go smoothly. So now, with all of this going on, because there was about a couple minutes went between text, so I had to tune in. So I had to, get on my iPad and tune into the game. And that's when I sent Kyle the thing. I was like, thanks a lot, Kyle. Now I can't concentrate on sweating to death on this Stairmaster. I got to watch this.
Well, good. Somebody had to get you to lock in.
Yeah, and it was one of those things, man, where, it was heart palpitation time,
It feels like all his outings are heart palpitation time.
And then here's where it got me. The irony was when Whit Merrifield came up, and you talk about the night that he had the other night.
Yep.
And I'm like, dog, don't let this dude get a hit. And I'd be damned if he didn't get one, but – Bryce Harper came up big.
Yeah, he knocked that ball down.
Yeah, he came up big in that one. But that was a heart palpitation.
Yeah, he's got me on. I just feel like we're going to have heart attacks in October when this guy comes in.
Yeah.
So since he got here, it's not been bad. He has a 2.79 ERA. He's appeared in 9 games as a Philly. But his walks are way up. When he was with the Angels, he was very low walk rate. He was not walking batters. Since he got here, it's almost 3 walks per 9 innings. It feels like every time he goes out there, it's like, we're one bad moment away from him blowing the game. So I like the idea they could use Hoffman in different spots and they can move him around because he's the kind of the fireman out of the bullpen. But I'm on shaky ground with this closer. 215-592-9494. Ron and Monco. What's up, Ron?
Joe.
Ron.
Oh. Is this the line I get in to insert my nose in Tomper's butt? Is this the line I get in?
I think you take a shot, sir.
Are you going to be all right, Ron? What do you got to say about the manager?
Joe, I never thought I'd see the day, where you sold out. It turned into a pom-pom shaky company guy. I never thought I'd see that.
That's not what we're doing here. As always, I'm trying to bring people to the light.
I love Ron.
I'm trying to show you the truth here, and you guys refuse to see it. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, here's the truth of the matter. The guy's a hack. That's what he is. Okay, and Girardi didn't have half the team of what this guy's got.
He had half this team.
Sorry,
come on.
He had Schwarber.
He had Schwarber. They were 22 and 29.
Who?
The last year that he was here, they had Schwarber and Castellanos and Harper, and he couldn't get out of his own way.
All right, well, I stand corrected there, but it doesn't matter. Listen, the guy, the guy sits on his hands. And he watches, and he waits, and he waits. And when he needs to make a change, he doesn't do it. And he drags on weeks into months, and he watches guys just turning into puddles out there, like Stott, like the right fielder. And then when the guy's backed into a corner, he finally does something. Okay? He finally does something. And it's like he just invented the wheel. With Weston Winston, whatever the hell the kid's name is, okay, it's like, and he says, oh, you know what? I'm actually thinking about putting him in tomorrow. Well, do you have much of a choice, dude? You got guys that don't hit. Sosa helped carry that team while Trey Turner was out, and when Trey Turner came back, he went right back to that, and you never saw him again until just recently. The guy's not a good manager, man. He lets these, he's the monkey in charge of the bananas, dude. That's what he is.
Well, the bananas are up 7 games in the NL East, all right?
It doesn't matter, because guess what? If Atlanta was in full force, you would be in second place if you were lucky.
Who's,
now, aren't
who's
you?
You
with that?
The Phillies?
The Phillies, Ron, sit now today.
They sit today
with the second best record in baseball. He's won 57% of his games since he took over. They've been to the NLCS and the World Series.
Yeah, he That he lets these guys run. He gives these guys too much rope. He gives way too much rope. They run the show. And
I don't disagree with you on that. And Ron, we appreciate the phone call. I love how we had an example. They brought in Joe Girardi. This guy, World Series winning manager.
Yeah,
he's a winner.
He pushed the right button.
And all he did is trip over his own shoelaces for 2 years, and they had to fire him too. But anyone can win with this team. Bryce Harper, anyone can win. Bryce Harper's had a lot of 500 years. Go look at his career. A lot of years where Bryce Harper wins nothing. Actually, he's won nothing in his career. But Rob Thompson, NLCS World Series, he chooses not to pinch hit on Sunday. And I'm with everyone. I disagreed with that. I didn't like that. But the guy's still a good manager. We're just over the top. 215-592-9494. We promise an embarrassing Braves radio moment from last night. We'll get to that. What's your most embarrassing moment where you made a fool of yourself? Best one we hear today wins a spot in the Fantasy League. Your calls in the Phillies with Topper. We started with some Hurts conversation. We continue that. Plus, Jahan Dotson. The Eagles have traded for the Commanders wide receiver, giving up a third-round pick in the process. Jahan Dotson, the new Eagles number three wide receiver. Your reaction to that? Lots.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.